Good morning, everyone. My name's Andrew, one of the church leadership team, and on behalf of our Pastor Paul, it's my pleasure to give you a very warm welcome to our service today. My prayer today is that you'll be blessed by God and feel His presence as you watch or listen to the service wherever you are. A church building may be closed, but we're alive to worship and to serve the Lord our God. And I just pray that together we might do that this morning. It's a significant day in the life of our church and also in the life of our pastor Paul and his wife Jill, as today is Paul's last service before he retires. We'll hear more about that a little later in the service, and Crispian will lead us in some prayers for Paul and Jill. But first, let's worship God together. Andrea is going to read the first 13 verses from Psalm 145, and this will be followed by the first song, Great is the Lord.
Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendour of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendour of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does.
The city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees, and Lord, we want to lift your name on high, and Lord, we want to thank you. trust in your unfailing love. For you alone, our God eternal, through our open heaven above. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees, and Lord, we want to lift your name on high, and Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives, and Lord, we trust in your unfailing love, for you alone have God eternal through our and Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone, our God eternal, through our open heaven above.
Hello again. The Celtic Christians described some places as being thin places. These were places where they felt heaven and earth came more closely together. These were places where they felt that we could sense the divine more readily. I'm sure many of us have had that experience of being in a particular place where God has felt very close to us. In other words, a thin place where heaven and earth meet together. One such place for me is the Teze community in France. Teze is a place where Christians from all over the world come together. Christians from lots of different Christian traditions, but we worship, we learn, and we grow together. Teze is a place where I feel most closely connected to the worldwide Church of God. And there's something very special about meeting and worshipping with Christians from around the world. I've asked a small number of people currently living in the Teze community to share a prayer or a reading with us today. This will be in their own language and also from their own church tradition. And I hope that you will be really blessed by their gift to us today.
Déu de pau, il·lumina els nostres cors amb el teu amor i fes créixer el teu esperit de reconciliació enmig nostre.
Soyez les pasteurs du troupeau de Dieu qui se trouve chez vous. Veillez sur lui, non par contrainte, mais de plein gré selon Dieu, non par cupidité, mais par dévouement.
Gott sah alles an, was er gemacht hatte. Es war sehr gut. Es wurde Abend und es wurde Morgen, der sechste Tag. So wurden Himmel und Erde vollendet und ihr ganzes Gefüge. Am siebten Tag vollendete Gott das Werk, das er geschaffen hatte. Und er ruhte am siebten Tag, nachdem er sein ganzes Werk vollbracht hatte. Und Gott segnete den siebten Tag und erklärte ihn für heilig, denn an ihm ruhte Gott, nachdem er das ganze Werk der Schöpfung vollendet hatte.
Maria, mit dem Kinde lieb, uns allen deinen Segen gib.
Se expressares o que habita em ti, isso irá salvar-te. Mas se não expressares o que habita em ti, isso irá destruir-te.
Want voordat gij hem vraagt, weet uw Vader wat gij nodig hebt. Gij moet daarom zo bidden. Onze Vader die in de hemel zijt, uw naam worden geheiligd. Uw rijk komen, uw wil geschieden. Op aarde zoals in de hemel. Geef ons heden ons dagelijks brood en vergeef ons onze schulden. Zoals ook wij vergeven hebben aan onze schuldenaren. En leid ons niet in bekoring, maar behoed ons voor het kwaad. Want als gij aan de mensen hun fouten vergeeft, zal uw hemelse Vader ook u vergeven. Maar als gij niet vergeeft aan de mensen, zal ook uw hemelse Vader uw fouten niet vergeven.
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples.
Psalm 145 continued. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever.
Let us pray. Lord, we bring to you those who are suffering the effects of coronavirus, both here and throughout the world. We thank you for the expertise and compassion of medical staff and scientists who are working to develop treatments and vaccines.
Gracious God, give skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure for COVID-19. Strengthen them with your spirit, that through their work many will be restored to health, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Father God, we pray for the Guinibor 2 Hospital in Chad, and for the BMS missionaries who are working there. Thank you that they are able to offer prayer to patients, and we pray that you will provide many opportunities for them to share your love and grace with the people who come into their hospital. We pray especially for safety as the country begins to open up after lockdown.
Loving God, we pray for those in our own community who are suffering illness or anxiety. We thank you that Esther was able to go home to her family, and we pray for continued protection against infection. We pray that she will be able to rest and grow stronger each day. Lord, bless the whole family so that they know how wide and deep and strong your love for them is. We pray for continued recovery for Maureen from her recent surgery.
Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them, and restore them to health and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Father God, we pray for our community of Whitley Bay, and we thank you for the organisations and the volunteers that support all those who live here. We ask that you would bless organisations such as the Big Local, which help to build a strong community. We pray for the work of the Bay Food Bank in providing much needed provisions for local families. And we pray for strength and wisdom for our parish nurses, and we thank you for all that they do in our community.
As schools reopen this week, please protect students and staff. Give wisdom to school leaders and calm those who may be anxious about themselves or their children. We pray especially for students moving to a new school or university, that they will be assured of your presence and love for them in all circumstances. We pray for positive relationships to be quickly established between staff and students, so that all feel safe and secure.
Finally, we pray for Paul, our pastor, as he retires from leading our church. We thank God for his faithful service to Whitley Bay Baptist Church and the many lives that his ministry has touched. We pray God's blessing on him and Jill as they continue to serve you in new ways, and pray that they would know your continued leading, guidance and provision in this new phase in their lives.
Please join us as we say the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
My name's Crispian Oates. I'm a member of the church leadership team here in Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Paul and Jill have been with us for 22 years, and today is Paul's last Sunday with us as our pastor before he takes a well-earned retirement. Jill retired from her job in Marks and Spencer earlier in the year, so they can both enjoy retirement together. It's not quite the last weekend we planned or wanted to have, as we have not met face to face in church since March. We've spoken with Paul and agreed that as soon as COVID restrictions allow, we will have a proper get together as a church to mark Paul's retirement in a more fulsome way. In the meantime, as representatives of the church leadership team and the whole church, Marion and I want to give you a small token of our love toward you and pray for you as you move into retirement. Let us pray for Paul and Jill as they go on their way. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you called Paul into ministry and gave him the gifts of pastor and teacher so many years ago. And we thank you that you gave him to us to minister to us here in Whitley Bay 22 years ago. We've been on a journey together in your presence, and we acknowledge all that you have taught us on that journey. We thank you for all that Paul has brought us and taught us from your word, for his leading and pastoring, and the blessings we have received. We thank you for Jill and for the loving support she has been to Paul in his ministry throughout this time, in times of discouragement and sadness, as well as in times of encouragement and joy. We have seen the example of their faithfulness to you and have been encouraged to press on ourselves. We ask you now, Lord, that you will bless them both in their retirement from full-time pastoral ministry. We feel sure that you still have your work for them to do and ask that you will lead them on the way as you have done up to now. We pray for the practical issue of their new home and ask that the legal and practical problems of their house purchase and moving in will be solved and that they might soon be into their new home. You are the sovereign Lord, and all our times are in your hands. You are our Lord and Saviour, and today we commit Paul and Jill into your safekeeping. May your grace be upon them, and may they know your felt presence with them, whatever they do in the days ahead. This is our prayer for them today, together with our profound thankfulness for the blessing they have been to us. And we ask these things with praise and thanks to you, our Heavenly Father, in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And that lovely blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, his precious peace.
Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Acts 20. From Malthus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Thanks be to God for his word.
Well, here we are. But before I share this final message as pastor of Whitley Bay Baptist Church, I cannot allow the moment to pass without expressing the sincere thanks of Jill and I for all the expressions of love and goodwill for the future that we've been receiving. And technically, I don't actually retire for another 6 days. But thank you so much for the prayers of Marion and Crispian, for the flowers and the rose plant that have been given to us. Thanks too for Crispian's kind words. We do hope, of course, that the opportunity will come before too long when we can all gather together at church for a bit of ado to mark this time of moving on. And I'm going to wait until that occasion to speak more fully. but I do want to express my sincere thanks to the members and friends of WBBC for supporting, encouraging, and challenging me through good times and difficult ones. My ministry has ridden on the back of your prayers and God's grace, and there are not the words to express that just now. I also want to express openly my sincere sense of gratitude for the way Jill, David, and Beth have been there for me as only close family can be. We've laughed together and at times cried together in the manse, and I think it's important that churches do remember that whilst the minister, whoever he or she may be, has been called of God to their task, it imposes all kind of demands on the spouse and children that they never sought. I thank God for Jill's constant love and strong support, and for the fact that I have two children in David and Beth who seek to honour God in their lives and vocations, and were both baptised here in this place. Thanks to all who have been part of the team that have worked with me over 22 years as we have sought to live out the calling of church together. Can I ask you to pray fervently for our present church leadership team and the pastoral search team? They have a most challenging task ahead of them as they seek a team leader to take forward the work of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. And be praying for that person who the Lord would direct here. They need discernment in making their decisions. Particularly, can I say that in the church leadership team, in Lynn Gradwell, Crispian Oates, Joe Harris, Tony Sims, Janusia Jackery, and Andrew Foster, you have a group of people whom you have elected to the task. I shall continue to pray for them, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen and guide them in the days to come, and I invite you to join me in that prayer. Determined to make their service in God's name a delight rather than a burden. In the many hours I've spent with them, I can testify to the fact that although very different from one another, these men and women all love the Lord Jesus, are open to the Holy Spirit, and utterly committed to their calling. Do support them. Now then, I'm supposed to share a word with you. Alison Senior just read for us that passage from the 20th chapter of Acts, that account of Paul's touching farewell to the elders of the church at Ephesus. I chose that passage because it includes a verse I want to use as a prayer for your blessing today. I'm not comparing myself with the great apostle, and indeed I hope to avoid the imprisonments leading to beheading at the command of the Roman emperor that were to await him. But I do want to borrow a sentence Paul spoke to the Ephesians and apply it to you who are Whitley Bay Baptist Church. It's verse 32. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Paul spent 3 years planting and raising up the church at Ephesus, which is considerably longer than he spent anywhere else during his ministry. Ephesus was close to the eastern coast of Turkey on the Aegean Sea. There he shared the good news. He established those who responded to the faith he taught and encouraged some of them to take on leadership roles, who became the elders when he moved on to other places in Macedonia and Greece. When he realized he'd be passing close by the city, he had the boat make land at the port of Miletus, from where he sent a messenger to the Ephesian elders, inviting them to meet for a final farewell. They were distressed when he told them he would never meet them again. He also wanted the Ephesians to know that he would be praying for them and that God would be with them in a future where they were likely to experience difficulties, from false teachers who wanted to tie them up in the old Hebrew law and rob them of the freedom they knew through the glorious gospel of grace, and persecution from those who would judge them to be atheists for not believing in the gods of Rome. Paul even warned them that some of the elders themselves could find themselves going astray, all sadly borne out in Revelation 2, where the Lord Jesus states, "To the church at Ephesus, you have abandoned the love you had at first." But enough history. I want to spend the time I have left impressing this word of blessing on you. I commit you to God. What Paul means is, I deposit you in God's charge, entrusting you to his protection and his care. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. I commit you to God as we know him through the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the living and eternal word of God, through whom we know what is meant by God's grace. We see it in his life. We see it in his death. We see it in his resurrection. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Build you up and together, not just as disciples, but as the body of Christ, the church. And to give you an inheritance, receiving all the promises of the gospel to share with the world, among all who are sanctified, those who live in Christ, have Christ living in them, who works out his grace in their lives as they press on in love, unity, and obedience. So what I believe Paul is saying to the Ephesians, and I want to say you, is I'm commending you to God as you know him in Jesus Christ, who is the word of God's grace. Everything to be spoken about God's grace is to be read in Jesus. This grace is active and profound. It initiates, continues, and causes to grow. Another person might have instructed the Ephesian elders on all they needed to do to stay close to God by obeying this law, that law, and another law. People Paul regarded as false teachers. But Paul had taught them that they were free from the law and its obligations. His great discovery that Jesus can change a life from the inside out. And the law is not made real and obeyed through outward acts, thus producing the life of God. Rather, the life of God works from the inside out when Christ is allowed his place in life as Redeemer, Forgiver, and Life-Giver. Paul isn't wanting to weigh these people down with lots of do's and don'ts. He wouldn't want to weigh you down with lots of do's and don'ts. And people who read Paul that way get him wrong. The abundant life of which Jesus spoke and gave to the world universally was not about what we men and women are supposed to do for God. Rather, we're called to live lives focused on what God wants to do in us. That's grace. as the writer David Guzik has observed, programs can't do it, the spirit of the age can't do it, slick marketing can't do it, entertainment can't do it, and Christians have tried them all. Only God and the word of his grace can, as the message puts it, make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. If all I had to feed my spirit was the content of the news media and contemporary broadcast drama, I'd be heading into the future ahead of us utterly and hopelessly depressed. But I stand on faith in the word of God's grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Apostle Paul had come to see, that invitation at the heart of the gospel is life-changing and helps us to see things in heaven's terms rather than earth's. Just the other day, I read a paragraph written by Charles Ringmer, an Australian Christian spiritual writer. When people seek the God of all wisdom and grace and rely on the power of the Spirit, all sorts of amazing things can happen, he writes. Then reconciliation occurs. Forgiveness is extended to others. Enemies come to peaceful solutions. Resources are shared. Divisions are broken down. Community is built, joy is experienced, hurts are healed, and thus the signs of God's kingdom appear. When this happens, the God of surprises has come amongst us. And he continues, we often carry far more than we are able. As a result, the journey gets tedious and we feel overwhelmed by our weaknesses and failures and by the many things we need to do. In the midst of all this, God invites us to draw aside. God asks us to acknowledge our sins and to lay down our burdens. The word of God's grace reaches out to embrace us and to pour healing into our wounds. God also welcomes our complaints and our struggles. The closer we are to God, the more easily we can come with all our concerns. The more intimate the relationship, the more readily we can open our hearts. In 1872, the great Quaker Christian John Greenleaf Whittier wrote a 17-verse poem, don't worry, I'm not going to read it, in which he told how he had discovered in India the practice of people deliberately becoming intoxicated with drugs in order to enter the divine presence, or so they believed. And he points out in the course of the poem that their joy is false, that they're not really worshipping, and in fact what they're doing is quite stupid. His word, not mine. And then he challenges Christians of his own day by pointing out how some look to music, incense, and vigils drear to lift men up to heaven. Just this week, Rick Warren wrote a blog entitled, Seeking a Feeling is Not Worship. Even in 2020, we can strive to lift ourselves up to heaven in many ways and miss the fact that it is God who comes to us, who dwells in us and works for his life to fill our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the past 22 years we have walked together as church and pastor. In this moment, I simply want to pray that you would care for and protect, encourage, build up and do mission through Whitley Bay Baptist Church. I commit them to you, God, and to the word of your grace, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying that you would grant them all the promises of the gospel as the Holy Spirit works in them and through them to your glory. Amen. And now the music group are going to lead us by singing the last five verses of that poem that have become a very well-known hymn, beginning with the words, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways."
As we come to the end of our service, I just want to say a big thank you to all those people who've taken part, both on camera and also behind the scenes. I really hope today that God has touched you and you feel closer to Him today. We're going to close our service now with a blessing from the Northumbria community, which will be led by our worship group. God bless you all. Have a good week. Through the storm, may He bring you home.
so the Lord Christ go with you. Wherever he may send you, may he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through